You're listening to the New Evangelicals Podcast. Hey everyone, I'm Tim.
And I'm April.
And welcome to the New Evangelicals Recaps. Every Friday, April and I will help you stay up to date on what's happening in this bizarre, strange, and sometimes kind of crazy Christian culture we find ourselves in while having a little fun along the way. Let's get into this week's recap. Holy moly! This is exciting. It honestly is. I'm very excited. April Ajoy, you're the new permanent co-host of this segment. How do you feel?
I feel blessed and highly favored.
As you should be, you know. So I've been teasing the audience for a while, like, who's this mysterious co-host? And when I was thinking about this segment with Adele, kind of thinking through having a new weekly format where we kind of recap the news, but it's more entertainment and just kind of having fun with it. I was like, I need a really good co-host that I kind of know already that can banter well and that is funny. I was like, oh my God, April Ajoy is like the perfect person for that. So I reached out to you. We talked for a bit and here we are doing TNE recaps. I'm so excited.
I am also super excited. It'll be fun because we should laugh about the awfulness of the world.
I've been thinking, I agree. So this is a brand new segment for the audience. The whole point of this, listen, if we get serious, that's more like my Andrew Whitehead Christian Nationalism recaps. That's the serious stuff. This is designed, it's Friday, we're going into the weekend. Can we laugh a little bit along the way as we're talking about really serious things? And I just think this is going to be a great fit. Why don't you introduce yourself to the audience? I'm not sure if everyone knows who you are. What do you do? Give us your background, etc.
Sure. So the quick is that I am a content creator. I make kind of funny sketches, being an ex-evangelical and an ex-Christian nationalist myself. Some of my evangelical highlights include singing an original song called America Say Jesus on the Jim Baker Show when I was 18. And I fully believed my words. And so did Jim Baker. So that was fun. So yeah. And so now I've kind of had this rude awakening, as many of us have, with Trump and the pandemic and a million other things, and have deconstructed out loud. But I do it in a more humorous way. I have wigs. I dress in drag and pretend I'm a Theo bro. And I just, I have fun with it. Because, I mean, yes, religious trauma is a serious thing. But it's also really absurd sometimes when you take a step out and just look at the things that we believed, that we were taught, how we were treated.
Yes.
And so I just like to, I think laughter is good for the soul. So
we need it. And so friends, welcome to the new weekly segment. The only thing that will not be consistent is on the end of every month, I'll have Andrew Whitehead joining us for the Christian Nationalism recap that we've been doing for a little bit now. But three Fridays out of the month, expect some laughter, some humor, maybe some seriousness as well. Because we were talking about, like, what do we cover? Because the problem is we're in an election cycle. And we are kind of in the thick of, like, what is driving far-right politics. Like, you and I see this stuff all day, all over the place. So the goal for us was to pick maybe just some things that we found pretty absurd and talk about them. And also, we have a few different segments that we're going to start working on. And the first one we're going to do is the tweet of the week, which I think is going to be hilarious. So I'm very excited to get into this. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And, I didn't tell you this, April. I'll tell you and the audience this. I have created a new email address, news@thenewevangelicals.com. If you have a news story that you want us to cover on a Friday segment, you can email it to me. And if it makes sense, we will do our best to get to it and cover it on a Friday segment, offering our commentary on that. I didn't tell you about that.
I love that.
What do you? Okay, cool. Yeah. I figured you would. So anyway, April, great to have you. This is going to be so much fun. I say we just dive right. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. I want to say that to my audience, yes, I am drinking 7-Eleven blueberry coffee. April, I really think that you should try this at some point in your life.
Blueberry? Did you say blueberry?
Yeah. Wait, you don't know about this thing going on inside of my community?
No, sorry.
You don't follow me online, April? Like, you're not
fully invested? I do follow you.
You're a co-host now.
Listen, I am fielding comments of people condemning me going to hell left and right. So I'm sorry I missed your blueberry coffee stuff.
Oh, it's cool. It's cool. But I will get you up to speed. So a long time ago, because I have a 7-Eleven by my house, I was okay. at 7-Eleven and I'm like, ooh, blueberry coffee. I'll give that a shot. Put some French vanilla creamer in it. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. So this is like my daily ritual where I'll walk to my 7-Eleven, get some blueberry coffee, French vanilla. I posted it a couple months ago on the Instagrams, and all of a sudden, all of these coffee fundamentalists come out of the woodwork. That's not real coffee. You can't drink that. That's not the good stuff. Yeah, and I was like, you know, obviously we have not deconstructed far enough. So now, just despite those people, I drink 7-Eleven blueberry coffee as often as I can on camera. And since I've been preaching the gospel of 7-Eleven coffee, people have been trying it and they've been convinced, including Noah, our podcast producer. He's a huge coffee snob, self-admitted. Okay. And I had him in my house a couple weeks ago and we tried it. I recorded it and he said, oh my God, this is really good. I said, exactly, it's good. So I just want to point out to the audience, 7-Eleven blueberry coffee, highly recommended. French vanilla creamer, you're off to the races.
All right, I'll have to try it. If I'm being honest, the idea of blueberry tasting coffee kind of sounds disgusting, but I will give it a try because, I mean, wow. What a review.
Well, I feel like, you know how Christian nationalism is like, look, Jesus told us to make disciples of all nations, so let's just, you know, take over the countries and force everyone to become a Christian. That's how I feel about 7-Eleven. It's kind of like my conquest goal, you know,
make everyone drink blueberry coffee. You're going to convert. You've got to go from converting people from one thing to the other. So you just
exactly. You get me, April. You get me. All right, cool. Well, I'm glad we got that out of the way. Let's get into our tweet of the week. So we have three potential tweets that we're going to talk the audience through that just kind of grabbed our attention. And then you and I, April, will vote on which one we think actually wins for the week. Sound good?
All right, sounds great.
All right, the first one is from Nancy Piercy. Now, Nancy Piercy, we actually did a response to her a few weeks ago with Sheila Gregor and Beth Allison Barr. She went kind of semi-viral for saying that women's suffrage was a net loss. Now, this is an evangelical apologist who's like well-respected in that evangelical world. So recently, she tweeted this. I just learned that a good friend from several years ago took the COVID shot and died 10 days later. She did not want to take this shot, but her children pressured her into it. So our first tweet is a well-known evangelical apologist participating in a really weird case of correlation is not equal causation, but, you know, tying it back to how the COVID shot is killing people.
Yeah. This reminds me of a time, and this is a true story, by the way. I was fishing in Galveston, Texas with my mom and my brother, and we were on a pier. So there are other people there. And my mom caught this little whiting, right? I promise you that this is relevant. My mom caught this little whiting fish and accidentally sliced her finger on it. And like, it was a little cut. It was bleeding a little bit. And this man who was a few feet away from us noticed our commotion. And he was like, you know, a friend of mine a while back got his finger cut on one of them wide in two. Week later, he was dead. You know, I'm sure those two things happened. But I think a few other things probably happened in that time frame.
Exactly. And what is shocking to me is that Nancy is someone who has graced the cover of Christianity Today. She was seen and still is as like a very knowledgeable expert in her field regarding the work that she does. And it just is kind of weird to see someone of that caliber post something that just has so many fallacies that even they would point out, you know, like, okay, getting a COVID shot and dying 10 days later does not automatically mean that the COVID shot caused death. In fact, there's so many details that are missing here. So I figure that was a good warm-up for tweet number one, Nancy Piercy participating in COVID conspiracies. Okay, here's number two. This comes to us from Joel Berry. This guy, I think he's a Babylon Bee dude. I think he works for the Babylon Bee.
Yeah, he's one of the big dudes over there.
Yes. Now, I want to be clear for the audience. Actually, you know what, April, why don't you read this one? I think it'd be good to hear it in your voice.
And
this is word for word.
Right. And I think this came after Trump was saying, like, Trump has been heard saying, like, that he wanted to be a dictator for a day and was caught saying typical Trump things. Regardless.
Yes.
We all know Trump. Yes. Okay. So Joel says, Trump is many things I dislike, but he's also the least tyrannical, most freedom-loving president of my lifetime. The people trying to paint him as a potential tyrant are living in a fantasy land. So frustrating to watch.
I'm sorry. How do you tweet that and really think
so serious
that other people are in a fantasy land? The dude said, I would only be dictator on day one.
That's a slippery slope. These people are all about the slippery slope. I think when you're a dictator for one day, I think that's a slippery slope to being a dictator for many days.
100%. This dude really says least tyrannical. I mean, obviously, he either is aware of Project 2025 or maybe he's not. But like there are so many receipts demonstrating the tyrannical nature of what Trump wants to do from not only his own words, but from things like Project 2025, Project Blitz. I mean, there are so many things behind the scenes that have come out. And Joel really thinks that Trump is the least tyrannical, most freedom-loving president of my lifetime. And what gets me is that these are the same people who will insist that they are standing on the truth of the Bible. And anyone who disagrees with them is just full of nonsense.
No, I know. And the Trump administration, literally his appointees on the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, which I would not say they did that for freedom.
This is very similar to how Turning Point USA, they have their political arm, and they give states scorecards going from tyrannical to a patriot, essentially. Okay. But how they rate it is so weird, because in New Jersey, in my state, which has gender affirming care, which means parents have the right to decide what's best for their children with their doctor. It's a pro-choice state. You know, again, people have the freedom to do things. They rate New Jersey as borderline tyrannical, but Texas, which has such strict abortion laws on the books that, the famous case of, I think, what was her name? Kate Fowler, who had her fetus had trisomy 18, which is pretty much a death sentence. It's tragic. And she could not get an abortion in the state, even though doctors were saying this was impacting her health and her fertility. And they gave that a very high patriot loving score. So it's just very weird to see how inverted these things are.
Bounty hunter laws in Texas too. Not only can you not get an abortion. Yeah. If you find out that someone aided or embedded an abortion, you can tattletale on them. And basically you can sue them for $10,000.
What? For real?
You didn't know about, they have bounty. Yeah. You got to look that up. It was in the news a couple years ago. I'm pretty sure it's still a law it probably did go into legal issues.
Yep, March 17, 2022. Let's see. It says, Texas bounty hunter abortion ban is a dire warning of what lays ahead for our reproductive rights. Wow. Okay, this is a thing. Wow.
It's a thing.
Wow.
And I don't know if it's an active law, but it definitely was passed in Texas Congress.
Here's what it says. This is according to Villanova Law Review. This law coined a bounty hunter law because it asks private citizens to inflict punishment could potentially implicate employers who provide funding for their employees to travel to get an abortion out of state or provide coverage for an employee's out-of-state abortion. Wow, that's crazy. Okay, so good to know. Yeah, so again, this is in the mind of a Trump-loving patriot. What looks like freedom is this, and what looks like tyranny is parents having the right to determine the best course of action for their trans child with the help of their medical professional. So, okay, so that's tweet number two. Now, I really think those are softballs. I don't want to spoil things, but this is the final one that we got. Okay, this is Alex Jones. Now, audience, if you don't know who Alex Jones is, I would be shocked. But just to give you perspective, Alex Jones, I think he set a record in a defamation lawsuit for owing people the most amount of money ever on the books, because he defamed the victims and families and families of the Sandy Hook massacre that led to such turmoil for the parents that they actually ended up suing him and winning for defamation. Yeah. I think it's close to a $1 billion win. Alex Jones is a conspiracy thinking, dehumanizing person who operates completely on propaganda. And it's been kind of shocking to watch him resurge back in more right-wing moderate spaces. Anyway, so he posted this on Twitter. Now, I'm just going to read verbatim. For those of you who can't see this.
It's a picture of him looking into the camera, so serious.
I don't want to, if you have children in the car, this might be on the border. I just want to be fair to all the parents out there. This was tweeted 7 days ago, 3:48 p.m., Alex Jones. It's a picture of Alex, and it says in quote, "I will eat your leftist ass, Alex Jones."
He said that unironically.
Now, do you have the other quote, the other tweet where he tries to clarify what he says? Because obviously this went viral online. Like people were going crazy
over
it.
People were having a heyday with it.
And then Alex tries to clarify. He did clarify.
Did I send it to you?
Oh, you might have. I gotta see if we can find it. Yeah, if we can find it, that'd be hilarious. But again, audience, quote, "I will eat your leftist ass." Hold
on. Yeah.
These are the people that like many white evangelical Christians listen to. Like, no problem. This is it. This guy has a huge audience. Jeez Louise.
And like didn't think it through. Like, in what, like, how do you tweet that and then think, oh yeah, that's it. That's gonna get it. So he got so much pushback. Not really pushback. People were just making fun of him.
Yeah.
Because there are some sexual undertones to that phrase.
To spell it out.
Yeah. So he then, after getting, you know, after people were just quote tweeting him like crazy and really having a lot of fun with it, he quote tweets himself and clarifies for everybody. He says, "The left has misunderstood what my intention was in posting this meme. I am talking about the road warrior collapse that has already begun because of the policies of the Great Reset. I am talking about cannibalism as defined as the consumption of another human's flesh. 10 days without food and over 80% of people start eating each other. You guys want to bring down civilization, so I just wanted to warn you. Good luck."
So the meaning of this is not sexual. It is cannibalistic in nature.
It is literal.
Yeah. Alex Jones wants you to know that when the whole world falls apart in America because of the Great Replacement and whatever else, you know, Great Reset, he will eat your leftist ass to survive.
Interesting that he would start with the ass. Just if we're taking it literal.
Yeah, no, that's a great point. So, you know, hey, maybe on a different segment, this would be a serious like crisis of the, again, these are what white evangelicals, these are people who they listen to. But in this context, it's hilarious. Like this, you can't make this up. You cannot make this stuff up. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you anything else you want to add about this tweet before we try and decide which one wins the internet for the week?
Sure. I will just say I saw this tweet posted on a different site, not Alex Jones, like the image. Yeah. And I thought, there's no way this is real. This has to be satire. And I literally went to Alex Jones' Twitter. And sure enough, it was real.
Wow. All right. Now we got a vote. We got Nancy Piercy talking about COVID nonsense. We got Joel Berry talking about how Trump is a great freedom-loving patriot.
Who's
the least tyrannical president of his lifetime. And then we have Alex Jones, so few words, but yeah, it says so much. I will eat your leftist ass.
I mean,
all right, April, you go first.
To me, it's a no-brainer. I got to go with Alex Jones because it's just, I've laughed about this so much.
I got to agree. I got to agree on this one. I 100% Winner. Agree. Winner for Tweet of the Week, Alex Jones, I will eat your leftist ass. I even have a sound effect, I think, here. Hey, look at that.
Congratulations, Alex.
I'm so professional.
Hey, I'm Shane Claiborne from Red Letter Christians, and I am proud to team up with the New Evangelicals and Project Amplify because Christianity is in crisis in America. There are a lot of folks who are trying to camouflage their bigotry or hatred or exclusion in the name of Christ. But at the end of the day, the word Christian means Christ. Like. And so we're called to look like Jesus, to love like Jesus. Jesus said we will be known by our love. So let's reclaim Jesus. Let's take the good news of the gospel back. And I want you to join me for this project, Project Amplify, because as my friend Reverend Barber says, the way that we change the narrative is by changing the narrators. And some of the loudest voices representing Christianity haven't always been the most Christ-like or the most loving or faithful or beautiful. It's time to change that.
Great. Tweet of the week, Alex Jones, I'll eat your leftist ass. Let's move on to something crazy that Trump said. Now, again, we could pick so many. This one, though, truly floored me. Trump is at a rally And, you know, usually at rallies, you honor certain people that are specific to your political causes, right? Like, you know, Joe Biden at the State of the Union address had some people there that meant a lot to him for his during his speech, et cetera. Here's who Trump decided to honor at a recent rally. Buckle up, friends. Here we go. Listen to this.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
You see the spirit from the hostages, and that's what they are, as hostages. They've been treated terribly. Unbelievable patriots, and they were unbelievable patriots and are.
There you go. Trump holds space, gives honor to the January 6th, quote, hostages.
Hostages. How, in what world are they hostages? Because they were in prison?
Is that being held hostage? April, it's the deep state, okay? The deep state has planted these people intentionally. They you know, tricked them into going on January 6th. The police were in on it. And now, I mean, listen, law and order doesn't matter anymore now, right? Like, the judges are all corrupt, guaranteed, all corrupt. Every single judge, corrupt. And so these people are being held against their will. And they are hostages. They are absolute hostages.
The breaking the law, the smashing the windows, the storming the Capitol, that had nothing to do, you know, the noose chanting, "Hey, Mike Pence," that had nothing to do with them being in prison at all.
That was all an FBI plant. Don't you read Alex Jones?
It was Antifa.
Don't you read InfoWars? There is damning evidence that this was a inside operation. Mm-hmm. You know, and so these people, just patriot-loving citizens, clearly are being held hostage by Biden's corrupt DOJ.
Wild times.
It is wild.
And like, how, it's just still baffling to me that after all of the evidence that has come out about January 6th, all of the footage, that people are still on the Trump train, and that Trump has not learned any lessons, and it would do the exact same thing again.
Did you
in a heartbeat?
Remember when they released the video of was it Mike Johnson who released like 40,000 hours of January 6th footage, and people took 30 seconds of people walking down a hallway peacefully with a cop next to them, were like, "Look, here's the smoking gun. The whole thing was set up. It was a peaceful protest." This is how these spaces work. Like, I'm just so convinced more and more. All the words that they use do not mean what you think that they mean. Truth doesn't mean truth. Freedom doesn't mean freedom. Patriot doesn't mean patriot. Law and order does not mean law and order. Like, the Trump very effectively in under 10 years has completely reinvented how we understand, or how some people understand, truth, data, facts, law and order, justice. And it is mind-blowing that we are in 2024 and a presidential candidate is paying homage to the people who stormed the Capitol building to stop the certification process of our democratically held elections. And a lot of Americans, not all, not even most, but a lot of Americans think that what Trump is doing is a good thing. Wow. Wow.
I mean, I watched it live. Like, you know, the gaslighting is almost... it's almost offensive. Like, they act like we're stupid. Like, we watched it happen live on the news in real time. Like, you can't tell me, you can't just tell me that what I saw with my own eyes wasn't true.
Right. There were Christian flags. I mean, anyway, we're going to cover Christian nationalism next week, but I mean, it is just, I almost feel like I say the same thing over and over, because what else can you say? But like, this is just so, we're in Looney Tune land sometimes. So anyway, speaking of crazy stuff Trump says, there you go, friends. At an actual rally, you know, I'm going to play it one more time. I want this to sink into the audience. Listen to it one more time. One more time. Here we go.
Please rise.
Ladies and gentlemen, please rise for the horribly and unfairly treated January 6th hostages.
You see the spirit from the hostages, and that's what they are, as hostages. They've been treated terribly. Unbelievable patriots, and they were unbelievable patriots and are.
I mean, unbelievable. That's just, you know, Trump wrote that.
Oh, totally. And the concept, the data that they're being treated unfairly, again, it's just not true. Like, they're going through the court process, which everyone goes through if they are suspected of committing a crime. So anyway,
can I tell you a quick fun fact? Beecher, who's my spouse, we knew two people, famous, infamous people who were arrested for their role in January 6th. And we knew both of them from church separately.
Oh.
One of them was Zip Tie Guy.
Oh, really?
Teacher knew them at youth group in Georgia. And I knew Jenna Ryan, the realtor from Texas, who said she couldn't go to jail because she was white.
She really said that?
Yeah, she like tweeted it. I think they used it in her court. I think she went to jail for like 60 days or something.
Oh my gosh. Well, don't worry. Like I said, it's definitely an inside job. Like, you know, those people were all unjustly framed. So, all right, let's move on to our main story of this this recap week. April, I'm going to hand it over to you. Why don't you kind of walk us through what you've been seeing on the interwebs in the spaces you occupy?
Okay, so I keep a lot of tabs on white evangelical spaces on Facebook, especially. I'm in a few different rapture groups, a few different Christian prayer groups. And to be fair, one of these I joined unironically, like way back in the day.
Love
and
that
I'm
for
just
you.
Like still Love in. That. So there are a lot of end times prophecy Facebook groups. And these have like hundreds of thousands of followers in them. Like there's a couple that I'm in that have like 300,000 followers, 89,000 followers.
Oh my gosh.
And there's a bunch of them. It's not just a handful. And a lot of them are public. So if you're, you know, if you're curious about it, you can just search rapture groups on Facebook and a bunch show up. But so there's a lot of chatter going on right now, a lot of excitement, a lot of bickering in a way, because if you didn't know, in a couple weeks on April 8th, there is a solar eclipse that is happening in America.
Okay.
And because the Bible says, if you didn't know this, in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, it says that there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars of the end times. So, you know, if you are an end times rapture person, you are always looking for signs of when Jesus is going to come back. And with everything that's going on in the Middle East, with Israel and Palestine and with Russia and Ukraine, and then now you have the solar eclipse, they're so excited. They think the rapture is imminent.
Wow.
And they are making some leaps and bounds to prove this. There are some that say that the eclipse is going to start the Great Tribulation. There are some that think that it's going to be the rapture. There are some that just think that God is using it as a warning, like a 40-day warning, like Jonah because of Nineveh, which we'll get to, because you do have a clip for us.
I do. Right? I do. Thanks to you. I do have a clip. I do.
So if you want to play that clip, this is a pastor in Texas who is kind of explaining the prophetic significance of this April 8th eclipse coming up.
All right, here we go. This is about a two-minute clip. Try and follow along. We did our best to make it digestible because he's kind of all over the place.
It's like a 35-minute video that we edited down to 2.5 minutes. So
here's the prophecy. Here we go.
The day was August the 4th on 2017. We had something called the Great American Eclipse. From the second the shadow touched the United States to the second and left, it was to the second, 1 hour and 33 minutes. What is that? It's Psalms 133. Oh, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's a call of unity for the body of Christ. Whereas I'm going to tell you the warning of the second one is a call of civil war. This one's a little bit different. Why is that? Because it goes over 7 cities in the United States that have the same name. What is it? It is the name Nineveh. God is not playing. And he is saying exactly what Jesus said before he went to the cross. And he's also saying exactly what Jonah said. This is the sign of Jonah. And it's this, turn or burn. You know what April 8th is. It's 4-8. Why is that a big deal? Because Exodus 4 verse 8 is where God Almighty tell Moses, if they will not hear you and believe you for the first sign, they will for the second. And the Lord tell me, Troy, pay attention to where it first enters in at. And the place where it first enters in at is this place that is called Eagle Pass. I know what an Eagle Pass is prophetically. Matthew chapter 24, and it's where Jesus himself is talking about the coming of the Lord, and he's talking about the rapture of the church. And whenever he's talking about the rapture of the church, he calls it where the eagles gather. Jesus is coming soon.
Oh boy.
And the heavens are actually declaring this. Eagle's Pass has been a big controversy because here in the great free state of Texas, We actually put up and we said, hey, all these people are breaking in right here. And we said, no. Then our federal government came in and said, our state does not have the right to protect itself. And there was a big controversy over it. And then people started talking about the threat of civil war.
Wow.
The first eclipse ended at the beginning of the civil war. The second eclipse begins at the ending of the civil war. Now, is that coincidence? No. Well, are you saying, Pastor Troy, that there's a civil war coming? I'm saying this, that all of us have a choice to make. We need to decide, are we for slavery? Are we not? Or are we not for slavery? Jesus Christ has come to set people free. And I'm telling you, he is coming back for the church. And where will we meet him? In the air? Jesus just refers to it as where the eagles gather. Friends, God Almighty is speaking through this great big event. The church could survive without America, but America cannot survive without the church.
There, you, I mean, I hope you got all that. Yeah, do you want to summarize the idea here behind it?
Yes. Okay, so he's mentioning to us two eclipses. So the first eclipse happened, wasn't the first eclipse, but there was another eclipse that happened in August 21st of 2017. And they said that between that and now, they're saying it was 7 years, which is God's sign of completion. There was also a middle eclipse. There was another eclipse back in October 23 that one didn't seem to have too much significance, but there's a bunch of people on Facebook that are like, well, no, that one was significant because in the middle of that line, when it exited America, was Corpus Christi. And that name means the body of Christ.
Oh my gosh.
So, okay. I have read so many write-ups about this. And honestly, it's very confusing because it doesn't actually make sense. But I will do my best to try to explain. Okay. So, the first eclipse happened in August 2017. And they claim that it went over seven cities called Salem, which is short for Jerusalem, which means peace, which they see as a sign of like the beginning is peace. So that's what he's talking about in that clip where he's like the first eclipse. And then he quoted that scripture where he's like, well, if they don't believe me for the first sign, they will for the second. So this they say that the second sign is actually this third eclipse now, which they said is 7 years from the first. It's not. It is 6 years, 7 months, and 22 days. But regardless, who's fact-checking this?
Who's fact-checking it?
Another thing they say, so the reason why he's talking about Jonah, they're saying that this is like the prophet, the same warning that Jonah got, which is turn or burn, repent or your city will be destroyed, right? And so they claim that this eclipse is going over seven Ninevehs. And speaking of Alex Jones, he actually shared like a 6-minute video with the same conspiracy, only he said there are eight cities called Nineveh. Newsweek did an article about it and they fact checked it that the totality of the eclipse actually only goes over two cities called Nineveh.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
So not quite the seven, but the reason why they're like seven Salems, seven Ninevehs, 7 years, God is speaking to us that the end's coming because seven is a thing.
Yes, seven's a thing.
Yeah. So another thing that they're looking at is the symbols that the path makes. So can you show up that graphic?
Yeah.
Okay. So that bottom line coming down from the left side of your screen, that was the eclipse in 2017. The one that's going up is the eclipse from that. That's the one that's about to happen on April 8th.
Okay.
So they're saying that these two signs, if you separate them and look at them, that they form the Hebrew letters that mean beginning and end. That the first Hebrew alphabet letter and the last Hebrew alphabet letter, that means beginning and the end. And they think that that means that we're in the end times. Basically.
So for the audience who can't see this, who's listening on podcast, essentially what it is if you take an A, capital A, and you put the line going through the middle all the way through and turn it to the left, that's what this looks like, okay? It looks like a really sloppy A. But they're saying that actually the path that both these eclipses have taken spell out in Hebrew the word Tav and Aleph, which apparently means beginning and end. And that's another sign that the beginning started and now the end is coming kind of vibe.
Yes.
So that's what we're looking at here on the screen.
Right. And so since Jonah's warning was 40 days, like you have, this city has 40 days to repent, which the city was Nineveh, if you're unfamiliar with the story of Jonah.
Right.
Jonah
right.
was going to Nineveh to warn the city. So they're saying, well, 40 days from April 8th is May 18th, which is the day before the day of Pentecost, which is apparently, that means something.
Okay.
But like they're also, I mean, they're reading into so many things. Like apparently the middle, the cross section where the two eclipses cross the 2017 one, and then this one is right over Little Egypt. And that means something too, because it's, we're about to make a mass exodus.
Oh my gosh.
The rapture.
My head hurts.
Like the leaps and bounds that they make. And this is not niche. Like this all over Facebook. My mom actually received a text from another pastor who also happens to be in Texas, who also happens to be white, warning his congregation of thousands and thousands of people, mind you, that they need to be preparing because they think the government might do something drastic, that there might be chemical warfare on this day, that there might, that the power grid might go out. And he's telling everyone that they need to buy an extra 2 weeks of food. They need to buy a gas mask. They need to buy extra drinking water just in case.
And I have it here. Can I just read part of it? I won't mention any names.
Yeah,
I had the letter here. So this is what your mom received, right?
Yeah, from this pastor at this church. Yeah.
Here's just a little excerpt. It's a pretty long message. Hi, family. If you missed my very important message last weekend about the eclipse coming on April 8th, please watch it on demand. Because of the overwhelming, irrefutable evidence that God is speaking to us through the coming April 8th eclipse, clearly seen by the names of the cities the eclipse travels over, and the evidence of the simultaneous message revealed by the journey of the eclipse among the stars, all caps, as the shepherd of the sheep, I sense a strong need to prepare the flock for some possible dangerous events on April 8th, dot, dot, dot. Okay, part two. Number one, buy extra 2 weeks of food. Buy 2 weeks of drinking water and keep it in a safe place. Purchase face masks, such as we had during COVID, in case somebody releases toxic chemicals into the atmosphere. Even better still, if you can afford it, purchase a gas mask. It might just prove to be a worthwhile investment. So,
yeah.
And there's a lot more there, but I'll just leave it there. So, yeah, I mean, this is, in some of these spaces, this is a real thing. And people really believe that the end of the world is either happening or starting. It depends on who you ask. I think people are fighting over that. It starts or ends on April 8th, 4-8, which again ties that to Exodus 4-8, the second sign thing. It's just, wow. I mean, what's that meme of like the guy who's looking at the board with all of like the red lines and he's like, this is what it looks like. That's what I feel like here, where it's like I can go crazy trying to understand all of this.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing. If you are looking for a sign, you can find a sign for anything. And, you know, it's honestly the whole rapture theology and pre-tribulation rapture is, it's really harmful, not only because you're just so anxious all the time and you're just focused on things that really don't matter in the scheme of things, but it keeps Christians from actually caring about our planet and doing things to fix problems now. It's like, well, why should we care about climate change, or why should our money go to stopping genocide and all these other things? Because Jesus is coming back and it's not going to matter. And it's not niche. Like a ridiculous amount of people actually believe this.
Friends, I am so excited to be partnering with Middle Church to promote their event, Freedom Rising, happening April 26th to the 28th, sponsored by the Candler Foundry and happening at Marble Collegiate Church in New York City. This is a three-day conference that you do not want to miss. Find rest, learn how to organize political power, and dream expansively about the world we deserve. And let me tell you, this is a monster speaker lineup with absolute legends, including Dr. Jackie Lewis, Reverend Dr. William Barbara, Reverend Dr. Kelly Brown Douglas, and Robert P. Jones, the founder of the PRRI Institute, which is the place I get all of my Christian nationalism data. This is going to be a three-day event full of learning about how to take care of you and your body, how to take action on crucial issues, and how to live into different ways of being in the world. I plan on being there, and I cannot wait to see you there as well. Get your tickets now at freedomrising.org and be part of this transformative experience. That's freedomrising.org, April 26th through the 28th in New York City. I'll see you there. You move the world.
This is Tim from Portland, Oregon, and I'm a new donor. I grew up in a fundamental church environment being taught that our way was the right way. After getting married, my wife and I then started to meet followers of Jesus that were outside of the paradigm of what a Jesus follower, quote, should be. Eventually, we started to realize that actually following Jesus is pretty simple. Love God and love neighbor. Well, just like he told us to do 2,000 years ago. I eventually found this podcast, and it quickly has become one of the staple resources to help me deprogram my closed-minded thinking that I grew up with. So thanks to you, Tim, this team, and to all of you out there on your unique faith journey. Hold on to Jesus, his love, and love for neighbor. Have a great day.
I just interviewed Brian McLaren about his new book, Life After Doom. It's coming out this Monday. And we talk a lot about that, right? This idea of how rapture theology and remember when we covered Ali Stuckey saying that God is sovereign over the planet. The four seasons are guaranteed to always happen no matter what. Therefore, climate change isn't that big of a deal. Like we talk about that theology too and how it actually, in all seriousness, has some major impacts for how we're treating the planet, how we treat other people. Because you're right. There are people out there who think, well, I mean, okay, one more quick example. I didn't plan to go here, but I'm going to do it anyway. William Lane Craig, he is a well-known evangelical apologist. Oh, I have to get you off the screen. Rude. Well-known apologist. He was recently on an atheist show. They were talking about the genocide in Canaan as described by the Bible. William Lane Craig says that because God ordered the decree for the Israelites to wipe out the men, women, and children, it was a moral good for the children because they went to heaven right away. I'm not kidding you. That's an actual, I'm not exaggerating. I if I had time, I would pull the clips so we can hear the 3-minute thing. And so it's like that kind of language. If someone believes that Israel is God's chosen country and that the Palestinian people are under God's judgment, that's how you get there. That's how you look at genocide in the face and think, oh, well, look, in the story of Israel in the Bible, God commanded them to kill all the women and children of a people group. So if God commands it, and I believe he does, it's not immoral. And that is not a huge stretch when you have well-known, very popular evangelical philosophers / apologists saying, hey, the genocide of children, of innocent children, was actually a net good because they went right to heaven to be with God. Like, what?
Yeah, it's...
What?
It's so frustrating and maddening, especially when you look at, like, irrefutable evidence that the pastor said, like... It's actually refutable. It's very refutable. It's there's not evidence. You know what, Tim, though? They said that it goes over 7 cities called Nineveh, which is not true. It goes over 2. But I took some time and I looked at the nationaleclipse.com list of cities that the totality of the solar eclipse is going to pass over.
Okay.
And you know what I did find?
What?
It does go over 4 cities called Marion.
Wow.
Marion, Indiana, Illinois, Ohio, and New York, right?
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
I see a pattern emerging.
Yes. So what does that mean? So this is a solar eclipse, right? It deals with the sun.
Yes.
Who is a famous sun? Sean Marion.
This dude?
He played for the Phoenix Suns from 1999 to 2008.
Oh, my
God. No. I know that's crazy.
Whoa.
But this eclipse, right, happens on April 8th. The Phoenix Suns right now are 8th. They are ranked 8th in the Western Conference.
Shut up. The front door.
So could this be a warning to the Phoenix Suns that they either need to get their act together if they're going to make the playoffs, or could this be the prophecy of the year that the Phoenix Suns, currently in last place for the playoffs in the Western Conference, what is 31 days? Sean Marion's number was 31.
No, 31. Wait, I don't believe you. I'm pulling this up. I'm going to fact check you.
Yeah, let me fact take a check look. Me.
Holy,
when he played for the Suns, his number was 31. 31 days from April 8th, the NBA is well into the playoffs.
I call that irrefutable evidence.
Yeah. Maybe the Suns are going all the way. Now, you say, April, are you saying that the Phoenix Suns are going to win the NBA Finals? I'm just saying. We need to figure out, are we for basketball? Are we against basketball?
Amen. I'm going to place some major bets on this. Major. Because the evidence is so irrefutable. Also, April, I'm not sure if you saw this, but if you look at the NBA scorecard here, which we are, for those of you watching on YouTube, the Suns are in 8th place and their win is 4-8. There it is. 4-8, April 8th. Like,
oh,
it just,
gosh.
The connection is so clear.
So clear.
Wow.
You know what? Number 7 right there, Mavericks. Sean Marion also played for the Mavericks for a year or 2.
Stop it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Wow. I am speechless at how got the start. It's amazing.
I don't have any words. I don't have any words.
Isn't God
good? God has spoken through you clearly. You are a prophet that is worthy of their anointing, in my opinion.
Honestly, if the Phoenix Suns do win the finals, I'm going to feel a certain way about that. I mean,
well, we're going to keep track of these things. You and I are going to start a prophecy scorecard. So the current prophecy is that on 4-8, the eclipse starts in either the beginning of the end happens or just a civil war breaks out within a few weeks. So we will keep tabs on that and we will report back to all. I know the audience is on the edge of their seats with this prophecy stuff. Yeah. I know it's a big deal. So the second we see it come to light, we will make sure to, you know, tally that scorecard for 1-0 because this will be a recurring segment, the prophecy of the week. You know, we want to really keep tabs on how the prophets are speaking through or how God's speaking through the prophets to, you know, maybe advocate for a Trump reelection campaign. I mean, there are so many things that are happening. And as we know from the 2020 election, those prophets were, they were batting 1,000. I mean, they were just knocking them out of the park.
They got it. They got them all right.
They nailed it. I mean, Trump is president still, obviously. Mm-hmm. The deep state is destroyed. The swamp has
Biden's
been drained.
Biden's just a walking clone.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, these people, that's why I tithe. That's why I give not 10, not 20, 30% of my money to them.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well,
you should do 31% for Sean Marion's number.
Oh my God. I'm going to. That'll do it.
That seed faith is going to put the Phoenix Suns over the edge.
Maybe I'll get a prayer cloth for that too. April, this was fun.
This was fun.
I'm
excited. We get to do this every week.
We do. And audience, listen, this is a brand new segment that we're trying. In full transparency, the way that I work is I'm very much a doer and ask questions later and then figure it out. So we're always looking for feedback. What did you like? What do you want more of? What do you want less of? Did you enjoy this kind of segment? Do you enjoy more of the humor? I think for me to keep myself sane, I need to be able to do this once a week where I can just laugh and be like, this is ridiculous. So hopefully the audience feels the same way. But yeah, like I said, if you want us to cover a news story that you think is worth us talking about, news@thenewevangelicals.com. We will be back here. Well, next week, I think you're off.
I have a doctor's appointment next week,
But me and Andrew Whitehead are coming
on. The following week.
You will be back. Yes. So me and Andrew Whitehead are coming back on next week to recap Christian nationalism in the news. And then from there, April, I mean, you're on the show. That's it. You're locked in for life.
Yes. Yep. Forever. Yes.
Forever.
I pledge allegiance.
I like that. Yeah, that's a good idea. I do demand full allegiance from all of my followers. So,
Totally.
Yeah. We're secretly building a cult. No one knows that yet, but it's going to happen.
Oh, I think some people know.
Well, God's given me a lot of things to say, you know, a lot of prophecies. So,
yeah. I mean, evangelicals, I'm pretty sure, think that it is a cult.
Oh, they absolutely do.
By Satan. You're one of the false prophets.
Well, they think that they think I'm a grifter. They think that I'm making millions of dollars, you know, which is why I do this from my guest bedroom in New Jersey, you know, because I'm just so rich and loaded. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and honestly, they're going to use this video as more irrefutable evidence for being in the end times, because another sign of the rapture coming is mockers and scoffers.
Oh my gosh. We're doomed.
That's us. The great falling away.
All right, friends. Thanks for hanging in. We'll talk to you all later on.